You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily podcast on the Toronto Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Blue Jays fans. Welcome to Locked On Blue Jays, your daily dose of Toronto Blue Jays talk directly into your headspace, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, AJ Andrews of GSTurnTheCouch.com, and yes, we're going to keep this running while I still have the energy. Sadder episode. This time as we bid farewell to a couple of Blue Jays who made 2020 exactly what it was. That is the nicest way I think I can say that. And I have an English degree. I'm supposed to be good with words and stuff. This month, the Blue Jays did clear a couple of spaces on the 40-man roster to make room for the likes of David Phelps and for Marcus Semien. And I don't think a lot of people are surprised with the names who were cut. So going to talk about both of them, what happened, why they couldn't stick it out in Toronto. And we'll actually get it started with a quick mention to the prospect that actually departed the Blue Jays organization, Ryan Noda. Noda was sent to Los Angeles this week to complete the Ross Stripling deal. So it's officially Stripling for Kendall Williams and Noda. And Noda was like an analytics darling who, you know, was a later pick for the Blue Jays. I'm trying to think of what specific round Noda was in, because he wasn't highly touted coming out of Cincinnati. 15th round pick in 2017 was Noda. He has a power stroke. He had 20 home runs in 2018 at Single A Lansing. 13 in 2019 at Dunedin. That's his last full season. And it was enough to catch a Dodger's eye. So he will join them, and you know that opened up a spot for the Blue Jays to add more people to the spring training picture, because Noda was previously offered that spot. We're going to talk about a couple of guys who did not earn that spot, and we're going to start with the pitching side of the equation, because we mentioned him in a previous episode, the David Phelps one, because he was the person who kind of lost his spot with David Phelps coming aboard and had the noble distinction of being DFA'd to make room for Joel Pamps, a guy who literally lasted 2 weeks on the roster before heading right back to Boston. So, an ignoble exit from Toronto for Shin Yamaguchi. What can you say about a guy who just could not get anything working in Toronto? And I see that, you know, not to be cruel. I mean, you know, he had an uphill battle making the transition from the Japanese league at the age of 32. And then losing out on, you know, the majority of spring training, losing out on 3 months of the season when theoretically you're supposed to be in a groove. All in all, it just led to a dismal campaign for Shin Yamaguchi. In 17 games, he lasted 25 and two-thirds innings, had an ERA of 8.06. And yes, that number is a little skewed because he gave up 7 runs in that game against the Yankees when, like, literally nothing went right for the Blue Jays. And we'll talk about a guy who made that sort of night against the Yankees possible in the latter half of this episode. But yeah, that was the Taijuan Walker game where just everything went wrong. And again, it actually ties in pretty well this episode. That 20-6 football score that the Yankees put up on the Blue Jays on September 15th perfectly encapsulates both our subject's tenure in Toronto. Yamaguchi got 4 outs in that game, but he walked 4 batters and allowed 7 runs. And, you know, a couple of them, you know, not entirely his fault, because Anthony Kay came in and gave up the home run to Gary Sanchez, and that cashed in the runners that Yamaguchi left on board. But when you go walk, 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 hit by pitch, bases clearing double, that is a sequence that is unacceptable at almost any level. And again, it just encapsulates what Yamaguchi was for the Blue Jays. And it's a guy who had stuff that was electric, but just could not get control of it while he was over here. And, you know, that's a problem when you're a 32-year-old. You're not, especially coming over from, you know, the Japanese League, where, you know, if you don't have the stuff to overpower batters, you need to have the control. And just was not there for Shin Yamaguchi. 26 strikeouts against 17 walks. 17 walks is just it's an unreal ratio to expect from a guy who's supposed to go out there and, like, eat up innings for you. And, you know, there was a stretch where Yamaguchi was successful at that, but that Yankees game was just, it was a nail in the coffin for him. Like just having a complete meltdown sequence like that. And then in the last 2 games he pitched in against Baltimore, he gave up another 7 runs. He gave up 3 home runs in an inning against Baltimore, which, again, not a great look when you're trying to, you know, keep your job. And it wasn't even the guys you expected. It was like Jose Iglesias and Ramon Urias, Cedric Mullins. Those are not power hitting types that Yamaguchi was getting teed off on. So, yeah, it made a lot of sense to let Yamaguchi go, especially with, like I said, the signing of David Phelps, the signing of Tyler Chatwood. There was just no role for him. And the Blue Jays are going to be on the hook for all $3 million of Yamaguchi's salary, which is fine. They don't have any commitments, really. So this year is just a burn year. Like, this is actually the last year Troy Tulowitzki is still on the books. And then next year they literally only have contracts committed to 4 players at the moment. So it's fine. They can eat something that didn't work out like this. And again, Yamaguchi ended up fine. 3 days after he was officially released from Blue Jays, he did sign a minor league pact with the Giants. So he's going to have a chance to make the Giants as a starter. And if he doesn't make the team, he can opt out of his minor league deal and likely return to Japan, I have to imagine. But, you know, he's going to have a chance to iron things out. I saw a bullpen that he threw. Susan Slusser of the San Francisco Chronicle did some reporting on that. He looks like, you know, he's throwing it easy. I hope he has a better time than he did in Toronto. It really can't be any worse, but we'll see how he does. Maybe the solution for Yamaguchi is just, you know, a change in diet. And you can do that with Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Comes in 18 amazing flavors like cookies and cream and coconut almond and German chocolate. And I had the German chocolate like yesterday. Like it's just so much chocolate. They're coated in 100% chocolate. It's chocolate overload in my mouth, and it's great. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they can help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. It's a creative treat. That's low calorie, low sugar, high in protein and fiber. They don't go over 200 calories. They have like anywhere from 17 to 19 grams of protein and 5 grams of sugar. So they're a great substitute for those candy bars at the store. And if you go to builtbar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON20, you'll get 20% off your next order. So use the promo code LOCKEDON20, get the 20% off at builtbar.com, and get you some tasty bars in your mailbox that you can enjoy while out having a drive. I eat Built Bar while I'm playing Pokemon Go in my car. And if anything were to happen to my car, and the mechanic's like, yeah, you're going to have to replace the struts. I'm like, well, okay. Like, we can order. No, that's fine. Just go to rockauto.com. It's a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com. Shop for parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Everything from, like, tail lamps, brake parts, engine control modules, struts, whatever they look like. You get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. And then I can take it to the mechanic. Because I don't know how to do things. But I can navigate the rockauto.com catalog. It's very easy. I see all the parts available for the vehicle. I choose the brands and prices that I prefer. And I know I'm getting it at a reliably low price. Because they always keep their prices reliably low at rockauto.com. So go there right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck, and when they ask, how did you hear about us, put Locked On in there so everyone gets, you know, credit and everyone's happy. So amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I mentioned that September 15 game that the Blue Jays had against the Yankees. And, yeah, Shin Yamaguchi was not good in that game. But he wasn't the worst performer. And the worst performer was directly responsible for Taijuan Walker getting hung out there for 7 runs. 6 of them unearned before getting pulled. And it brought me great joy to see that the Blue Jays had decided that there had been enough Derek Fisher in our lives for everyone, that I would not have to worry about buying a Derek Fisher Blue Jays jersey. And he was officially designated for assignment. Now, y'all remember in that game, Derek Fisher had 2 fly balls hit at him in that inning. Should have been easy catches. One of them bounced off him, shades of when he tried to catch a ball with his head, and the other he just took a miserable route to, and it ended up being that bases clearing double. And like, if you're going to be that bad in the outfield, you need to at least have something with your bat to try and make up for it. And Derek Fisher didn't even come close. He batted .226 last year. That is a career high mark. That is the mark he actually put up in 2019 with Houston before he was traded to Toronto, where he proceeded to hit .161 in 40 games. I believe the wager was if he managed to hit 15 home runs, I would have bought his jersey. He got 1/15 of the way there in 2020 with just the 1 home run. And for a guy who was sold, it's like, oh, he has all the tools. He has, you know, everything you look for in a ball player. He did not know how to use them properly in Toronto. And it just looked like he didn't care. Which, I mean, I get that. If you don't want to actually be playing baseball, that's understandable, Derek. You're young. You can figure out what you want to do with your life. But you can't just be out there dogging it like that. But what really sealed Derek Fisher's fate and his departure from Toronto was his fellow former Houston outfielder, Teoscar Hernandez. The second Teoscar took off, the second Teoscar showed he was going to be a Silver Slugger candidate, that just made Derek Fisher completely redundant. Because the whole thing about 2020 was figuring out who was going to seize a position, who was going to rise up and make sure they had a part in the bright future that this team had. And we were all looking at right field because that was the part of the field that was unsettled for the Blue Jays. And Teoscar Hernandez made it very clear it wasn't going to be a battle. So Anthony Alford got sent to Pittsburgh. And it's why Derek Fisher was an easy DFA call. He ended up in Milwaukee. Milwaukee acquired him for the, you know, ever fun cash considerations, or I believe a player to be named later. Yeah, not a very glamorous trade. But, you know, he'll have his chance in Milwaukee, which between Derek Fisher and Travis Shaw going there, just that seems to be Milwaukee's strategy, is to acquire the pieces that Toronto no longer has use for. Which is a bold strategy, Cotton, but we'll see if it pays off for you. But yeah, Fisher's not going to get a lot of at-bats, just given that Milwaukee has Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain and Avi Garcia, who I'm still very glad is in the National League because he always killed the Blue Jays when he was in Tampa. But that's where he is. That's where he went. And we'll see what we get from the Brewers. It's not expected to be too much for Derek Fisher, but you never know. Those PTBA NLs, they can surprise you. I mean, we think the Dodgers got a good one in Ryan Noda, so. And that's how you circle around. That's how you complete the picture on a podcast. See, I can still do it. Just, I need to have the energy to do so. And I thank y'all for, you know, sticking with me and making sure I try and have the energy. I hear from y'all on Twitter. I appreciate it. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any of these episodes, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode. Or you can follow the podcast on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Jays. All the links are on the Twitter feed. And you can follow me on Twitter at @A_J_Andrews. The underscores are there because Twitter is dumb. But it allows me to get your feedback. And it's greatly appreciated. And, you know, I feel good when y'all say things like when you put out an episode because I miss it. You know, hopefully this is the beginning of that wave again, and I can start getting them out more frequently. I mean, this is two on the 25th. That's good. I haven't had a doubleheader in a bit, so we'll try and keep it going. Now that we've finished our look at what the Blue Jays officially did in the offseason, we're going to be turning to the spring training picture. Looking at the minor league signings, see who might actually be an impact player for the Blue Jays. And then some of the news and notes that are coming out of camp. There's a lot of rave reviews for Dunedin. There are some guys that are definitely trying to prove themselves and regain their value. And yeah, we'll just basically be going over that and seeing what the Blue Jays have to do. And there are some players that have some stuff they need to do. So be sure to subscribe to make sure you don't miss out on that. And now that you're done listening to this episode, since February is Black History Month, the Locked On Podcast Network is honoring the challenges and success of Black men and women in sports with a series called Locked On Presents More Than the Game. There are a couple conversations coming out this week talking about protest in sports across the league and then the importance of Black history in sports. So check that out. It's worth a listen. It's on the Locked On Presents feed. So check that out, and we'll be around next time. So for everyone at the Locked On Podcast Network and everyone at jaysfromthecouch.com, I'm AJ Andrews. Thank you all so much for listening to tonight's episode. And y'all take care.